ring. Is he worthy? Do you really feel that he is worthy of our praise? So, you know, I can go to a football game and scream my head off. I go to the basketball games and yell and holler, soccer, whatever. And then when we come to church, then we're supposed to be still and know that he is God. That's one scripture. But the scripture teaches that in heaven, there's continual, incredible praise. Now, I have been accused at our church. Has been accused of being the kind of church where we are holy rollers. You ever hear that term? Oh, you're a holy roller. Well, you know what? What good is it to be accused of being a holy roller if I don't ever get to roll? What if you never get to roll? I'm not going to get on the ground and roll, but I'm going to shout. You know, it makes me want to shout. The chandeliers are too high to swing from. We don't get to do that, and we don't roll on the floor. But what's wrong with getting really excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who we are going to be with forever to praise his wonderful name? Oh, glory to God. He is wonderful. He is worthy. And I encourage you, when we get together, the scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and into his courts with praise. Let it rip. Let it go. Let your praises ring out and let him know and let the world know that Jesus is Lord. We lift him up. We lift him up. We lift him high. Glory to his name. I have a few prayer requests and I don't know where I just stuck them. There they are. I want to remember Judy Riley. She's not with us this morning. Just not feeling well and struggling with the passing of her brother. There will be a memorial service for Judy's brother on Thursday, this coming Thursday. Angelica Funeral Home, I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm suspicious that there might only be one funeral home in Angelica from 5 to 7 o'clock. So if you feel to support our sister Judy in that way, you could stop in and give her your condolences. That'll be Thursday, whatever Thursday is.
I don't know.
And 5 to 7. Want to lift up our missionaries. This is Mission Sunday, and I want to specifically remember the Rehema Home in Irvin Ruswant and the wonderful work that they do there. I got to see some really, really cute pictures of Nora Keir at the Rehema Home. She shared them with me. I wanted to bring one and put it up today. She's with all of these little kids at the Rehema Home. It was so sweet. But let's continue to lift up our brother and sister Irvin Ruth and believe in God to meet the needs there. And please continue to remember Tom's sisters, Kathy and Carol, both of which are in very, very difficult situations. We want to continue to lift them and their families up. Father, we thank you that you indeed are worthy. Oh, you are worthy of our praise, our honor, and our glory. I pray that within us we would be able to experience a springing up of the well of praise and worship, exalting and lifting you up. God, we thank you for it. We lift up our sister Judy this morning. We pray that you would lift her out of affliction and that you would also comfort her in the loss of her brother. Father, I pray that your presence would be with her, especially when she goes on Thursday, and that Judy could be a testimony to that whole family of the grace of God. Bless her, Lord. Father, we pray for our missionaries, Irvin, Ruth, Schwant, precious couple that have given themselves for so long to the children of Rehema. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, bless that ministry, and Father, that you would pour out a financial blessing. Open the windows of heaven. Provide the needs there, Lord. We pray that you would meet every need. God, we know you're able to do it. Father, we lift up our brother Tom's sisters, Kathy and Carol, and God, we pray. We're asking again, we're still asking for a miracle. God, that you would move in both of their lives, that you would touch them, that you would infuse life into their bodies in Jesus' name. And God, that both of these ladies would know in their spirit that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is calling them, and that then from their heart they would respond. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Tom, come on up and share for a minute about the corn roast.
So I just want to give you a little bit. Those who've been around for a while remember the corn roast. And a lot of things happened, including COVID, which kind of put corn roasts and things like that on the side. And we really haven't picked it up. Dave Palmateer is saying to me, you got to have a corn roast. I said, Dave, listen, we really don't have all the people we need to pull off a corn roast. He said, I'll come and I'll cook the corn. And he says, and Ernie will help too. So he volunteered Ernie. So I said, would you please ask Ernie? I don't want to be the one to ask. So Ernie said, absolutely. So Dave and Ernie, they're like all excited about this corn roast, and they feel like it's a way to give back to the church a little bit for allowing the men to meet here on Monday nights. We have guys from all different churches here, and I'm not sure how many of those guys are going to show up. But that's why we're having this, and hopefully this can be not starting a tradition, but picking up something that kind of went to the wayside. A couple details on that is Luann is going to handle the kitchen, correct? Okay, so you'll be hearing from Luann on that. And we got some other things that are going to need to happen, and I'll be in touch, or somebody will be in touch with that. I know there's going to be a dish to pass, and we're going to go down. We're going to have a fire down there. Not going to boil it. You don't boil corn. Nobody boils corn. So we're going to have a fire down there. We're going to cook it. So let me just ask you this: that's going to be 2 weeks from today. So how many think, just raise your hand, how many think you're going to be here for this? Okay, that's like everybody almost. Andy, okay. All right, so now, how many think that they're going to eat 2 ears of corn? Let me see your hands. That's about half. Three? I'm just kidding. we do have a few threes. Okay, all right, so that helps. Pastor Dave took the initiative to say, invite everybody.
Yes.
Which is a great idea, but we need to have some idea of what everybody means. You know, so if you're going to bring some guests, they are welcome. I've told some people, especially if it's Monday night, these guys go to their own churches. They don't have to come to our church, just come for the corn roast. So if you're planning on bringing someone, find some way to let us know so we can have, because next week, probably next Monday, we're going to talk to Bob, and we're going to order the corn, and so he will have all the corn that we need for 2 weeks from now on Sunday. We need to get a couple, 3 ears of corn now and age them, because we have a guy in the church who only likes old corn. So, Lynn, we're going to take care of you, my brother. You will have what you need. So we need a couple ears or 3 ears of old corn for Lynn. Everybody else gets to eat fresh, and we're going to have a good time. So we'll be in touch with you about setup, takedown, cleanup, all that kind of stuff. Right now, just put it on your calendar. Be here for it. Have a good time. And this is like the end of the summer. So hard to believe that's already here. So anyhow, it's going to be a fun time. All right, Pastor Dave.
All right. And there'll be more to eat there than just corn. lots of stuff. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and our old grill died a horrible death. So we got a new grill. Yay! And so we'll be all set with that. Here is a sign-up list. We're going potluck. If everybody signs up for a dessert, Luann will probably call you, but you know. We'll send it around. You can put your name and what kind of dish you might be willing to bring. And please make sure that this, if it gets halfway through and stopped, that's a problem. So if you could make sure it gets all the way around. Yeah, plastic. Thank you, Ed Wasdorf, our literalist. All right. So, I felt this morning to take just a couple of minutes. I feel like the Lord would like to move a little bit in the prophetic. If that's okay, I'd like to just give the Lord some place to do that. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me that He wanted to maybe minister to some people in a prophetic way. And understand that the prophetic ministry is not an exact science. The Scripture says we know in part and we prophesy in part. And sometimes, you know, you can get it wrong. That's why it's important to test. It says judge prophecies. Judge them. So it's very important to not just take a prophetic word and run with it. It's better to take it and hold it before the Lord. I've been feeling, sometimes the Lord shows me very clearly a person, and I'm not getting a person or any people for this, but I'm hearing the Lord telling me that there's somebody here, and you felt the Lord leading you in a particular direction. You felt directed. You felt the leading of the Lord, but then you're looking at it, and the Scripture talks about counting the cost, and counting the cost is a good thing, but you've been vacillating back and forth. Well, What if I do that and this happens? Or what if? And so you've kind of, there's some confusion that's come in and clouded that whole issue. You've been back and forth, and I hear the Lord saying, "How long will you stand between two opinions?" You remember that in one of the books of Kings, Elijah looks at the children of Israel, and he says, how long will you vacillate between two opinions? If the Lord is Lord, serve Him. If Baal is the Lord, serve Him. And then they had the big showdown. I believe what God is saying today is He's leading you, put aside the spirit of fear. And this is probably a very specific person, not a general word. And step into what God has for you. Put aside all the wondering, worrying, what if this, what if that. Just step into it. Now, I'm also feeling another person today. God has told you what to do. He's spoken. You know that there's something that you need to do, but you don't want to do it. And you've procrastinated it. You've put it off. And I see a person just stuck in the mud, their feet right down in the mud, because they haven't taken that step. I believe the Lord is saying to somebody today, get unstuck. Step forward. Do that thing that God's put before you, that you know you ought need to take care of, something that you need to take care of, that God's shown you. Step forward and do it. Step forward and do it. Sister Randy, I'm seeing you very busy in the kitchen. I see you hurrying all around and you're working and making all kinds of stuff and you want it to be just right. You want it to be just right, but you're worrying about it. Oh, what if this is not... You know, my wife feels the same way. Anytime she makes a meal for somebody else, it's like, oh, I hope they like it. But I see you going around and, ooh, does this have enough salt? Is it going to be right? Oh, and I hear the Lord say, put your salt shaker down. It's good enough. And He is pleased with you. I want that word to really settle in you. He is pleased with you. It tastes good. It's done. He's pleased. Sister Lisa, God wants to teach you how to step forward without fear. I'm hearing something of God wanting to bring you forward in the Spirit, but that there's a fear that kind of grips you every time. Like, is it okay? God wants to tell you, it's okay. It's okay. Take a step forward. Don't be afraid. God's going to do it. He's going to use you. He's going to show you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Sister Mary, I'm just hearing God saying, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's going to provide for you, and when he's done, he's going to provide for you again. And then when he's all done with that, he's going to provide for you again. Because God wants to show you that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's going to provide all of those needs. I haven't the faintest idea what that means to you, but I'm believing God wants you to know he is Jehovah Jireh. And he's going to show himself faithful. He's going to prove himself. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're good. God, you're good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there may be more. I don't know. I'm trying to obey God. It's very tricky to bring prophetic words over people in the church where you're the pastor because you know stuff about them. And I don't want to speak out of what I already know about you. I want to be very careful to try to keep a pure word. So, but anything that you hear your pastor say, make sure you run it by him. Make sure you run it by him and hear what he has to say. He is faithful and good. Glory to his name. Today, I have an interesting message for you. In some ways, it's kind of a cousin to what Curtis shared last week. Not the same, but you know, they're kind of cousins. I'm going to call this In-N-Out. Not like the restaurant In-N-Out. You can go ahead and put that up, Adam. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the world has adopted this scripture. Have you heard it? I hear it all the time on commercials and in different media, but they only do half of it. They tell you your body is a temple, and they forget about the whole Holy Spirit part. It's just not there. They say, your body is a temple, so you deserve to put the most important things in, so buy our supplement. It only costs $100 a month. You know, they're going to try to sell you something because your body is a temple. Well, yeah, your body isn't your temple. Your body is his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And notice it says you are not your own. That's a really important thing. Because, you know, we like to think, you know, in this day and age, we've got the mantra that women run around, my body, my choice. Guess what? It's not your body. We're not even talking about the baby. It's him that gives life. So this whole self-centered idea that I'm the center of the universe and everything has to revolve around me is the spirit of Antichrist. It is a spirit of Antichrist. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Ooh, both of them. I'm going to meddle a little bit today. You ever have a pastor meddle a little bit? I'm going to meddle a little. If you don't like my meddling, you just turn your ear off for a minute, and then you can come back, because halfway through, I'm going to stop meddling. People spend a lot of time concerning their health, especially in the areas of eating, diet, and exercise. And you know, there's an understanding that if you put good things into your body, that you're going to feel good or be healthier. Contrary-wise, if you put junk in your body, you're going to feel junky. You're going to feel bad. Have you heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out? That's a computer term. Correct, Andy Myers? That's where it originated with computer scientists. GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If you write a lousy string of code, you write a lousy program, you put it in, you're going to get a bunch of nonsense. Same thing, though, in our lives. Garbage in, garbage out. Good things in, good things out. And where there's a whole movement of you know, take your body as a temple to put good things into it. There's also a whole movement that I would call, well, you know, pastors make up words, fast foodification. Fast foodization, can I say that? In America, it features easy, fast, and tasty. It's really, really good, and they pop up all over. And I'm not going to name any of them because you know what they all are, but you've heard the slogans. You deserve a break today, so get up and get away. I won't say where, but you all know where. You deserve a break. Have it your way. Notice that they always appeal to the centrist person. Oh, you deserve something. Have a break. Go. And but you know, for every decision you make about putting something in your body, there's a price tag. There's a price tag to it. And you might put good stuff in, you're going to feel good, put raunchy stuff in. You know, and the whole fast food life, it's convenient, no cooking required, it tastes really good, well, sometimes it does. So what's the problem? It's usually really expensive, and it's not good for you. It's full of fat, processed additives, that's why they call it junk food. You know, you eat enough of it, you're going to feel junky. So the scripture talks about our body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. You notice we sang about a song today, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Well, if the Holy Spirit is what's dwelling in you, then, and me, then I sure better be careful to be holy. You know, make the effort to be careful of what I'm doing with his temple. It's our desire to serve God as that temple, but you know, if your temple feels junky, it's so much harder to serve God. You know, at school, I taught at what we called a very low-income school, low-income demographic, a poorer area school. I taught at Cuba Rushford Central School. And we had kids that would come to school, and they were hungry. They'd show up, and they didn't have any breakfast. Now, I challenge you to come to school and try to teach a kid math or music or science, right? And all they can think about is they're hungry. It's not going to work. So we found out, wow, we've got to meet the need first. So the breakfast program. And the kids that needed to would go down and they'd get something to eat. And once they had something in their stomach, then they could start thinking about what they were going to learn. Of course, that didn't always work great when I had lunch duty and I watched the kids pour chocolate milk on their Cocoa Puffs. Oh. I was like, put that chocolate milk down right now. Yeah, I was the cafeteria Nazi when I was in there. I was like, don't do that. Your teacher's not going to like you bouncing off the walls, you know. But, you know, same for us in the kingdom of God. It's hard to serve God if we don't take care of the personal temple. Where's my clicker? There it is. See if I can go on. 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We're used to the second half, but look at the first half. It says physical training has some value. Physical training. In other words, taking care of this, being a steward of the body that God's given you, making sure that it's still working, that it's still moving. And, you know, it's really hard to serve God spiritually if your natural body is broken down. Now, I understand. We have some people in the church here who struggle with pain. I get it. You know, they have a problem with pain in their body through none of their own making, and so it's hard to move. But as soon as you stop moving, you lose a lot. It is so important to keep moving. And in our country, we're told that we have an obesity epidemic. It's just because so much of non-forward motion. I want to encourage you. It's very important that we think about what we're doing with this temple of our body. People look at me and say, "Yeah, Pastor Dave, it's real easy for you. You're skinny." Yeah, well, you know, I have my own battles. I'm the exact opposite of a lot of people. I have to make sure that I put enough in me so that I don't disappear. It's just the way it is. I've often toyed with the idea. I thought, I don't know if I'll ever do it, but I thought, wouldn't it be cool to start a Christian fitness ministry? I like a walking and running ministry, a kind of a small group. I think I'd call it Fit for Service, where people can just come out and have a devotional, and then we can walk or run or whatever. But just taking time to take care of our personal temple is so important. Stay moving, stay active. Oh, cool. You'll have to give me the information. Yeah, cool. All right. So taking care of your personal temple is really important, but and in the natural. But I also want to talk, mainly wanted to talk today about the spiritual implications of our temple. I'm done meddling, by the way. I'm not gonna tell you what to do with your body. In the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it had a gate. It had a big curtain. We spent a long time looking at the tabernacle in the wilderness, and if you want to look at that, you can go back in our archives on our website. But they had a gate, a big curtain in the front. And there were several other gates or curtains that went into the holy place, and then the most holy place. And the purpose of those gates was to ensure that only holy things came in. Only holy things would be able to come into the presence of God, into the tabernacle, into the place of His dwelling. And it was expressly also to keep out uncleanness. The main gate in the tabernacle was the eastern gate. It was the only way in. The only way in. And remember, Jesus said he was the door, the way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." That eastern gate typifies Jesus and what he meant. The other door, the other gate, curtain into the holy place, and then into the Holy of Holies. And only priests who had purified themselves could go in through those curtains to minister. If somebody had not purified himself, God let them know they would die when they tried to go into the holy place there. I'm glad that God doesn't strike us dead when we let unholy things into our... I'm not purporting that today. But the tabernacle and later the temple were considered holy, and nothing impure was to come into it. Yeah, that's not what I wanted. And that's not what I wanted either. Oh, well. That very first scripture, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember that we also have gates. You have gates. If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then it's important for you to be vigilant about your gates. Very, very, very important. And I want to look at, well, we'll go ahead. I think I messed this up. It was early this morning. The eye gate. The eye gate. Matthew 6:22-23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So we have been given gates. One of them is the eye gate. The world knows that you have an eye gate. And they're going to try to exploit that eye gate in every way they can to get you to look at stuff very important that we guard the eye gate. It says if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body's full of darkness. Wow. So that's why we have Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now that word fix there means to literally look away from all else except one object. One. Focus in. Center in. Very important. You remember Peter in the boat seeing Jesus when Jesus came walking out on the water? And as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he had his eyes on him, then he was able to walk. And it said, but he saw what? The wind and the waves. And then he starts to sink. Now Peter gets a bad rap. You know, Jesus comes over, he cries out to Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He lifts him up, and the two of them walk on the water. Peter walked on the water a second time, back into the boat. So God is merciful, but he got into trouble because he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the problems. Remember the 10 Hebrew spies? They were sent, there were 12 Hebrew spies actually. They went, one from each tribe, and they went and checked out the land. Two of them had their eyes fixed on God, and 10 of them, all they could see was the giants, the big people, all the armies, all the walls, all the problems. And they came back, and they brought a bad report that caused people to doubt the faithfulness of God. And why was that? It was all had to do with what they were looking at. All had to do with what they set their eyes on, what they fixed their attention on. So we are told to protect, to guard our heart. I think I had that scripture up. My things are all out of order. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. And Luke 6:45 is good too. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. How does it get stored up? It's talking about what you let in. What are you letting in your eyes? What's getting programmed in these two wonderful little color cameras that God has given you? There's a great temptation to look at things that we shouldn't or ought not to. And I'm not just talking about things like pornography. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not from God. And the lust of the eyes is not speaking specifically of like looking lustfully at things. It is talking about wanting or setting your affection on things, looking at things to the exclusion of God. Getting sidetracked on that. Very important. So I want to ask you, what are you fixing what are you allowing through your eye gate? It doesn't mean you have to wear blinders. It doesn't mean you have to live under a rock. But it means, number one, you need to take inventory. Be aware. What are you looking at? What are you filling your mind with? What are you letting in? Where is your attention coming from? You know, if you're plugged in, there's nothing wrong with the news. I'm just using it as an example. But if you're plugged into the news 24/7, your brain's going to be filled with disaster and politics and you know exactly what I mean. It's very good to be aware. So I want to encourage you, fill your eyes with the Word. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your Word gives light. It gives light. Just like that you let the right things into your eyes, your whole body's going to be full of light. The world is fighting for your eyes. Don't let stuff in that's not going to bring light. The world knows it. You know, the world of social media and I had the funniest thing happen not long ago. My wife and I went out to dinner, and we saw this young couple come in. This guy and this girl came in, and they sat down, and we just kind of thought, always meant nice. They're out on a date. And they came in, and the young man seated the young lady, and they sat down, and they ordered. And then both of them immediately got their phones out, and they sat like this for an hour, and they ate their food in front. I don't know if they ever looked at each other. And on the one hand, I thought it was hilarious, and on the other, I thought it was just so terribly sad. Because the world is being trained to have that stuff right here. Right? It's right in your face. The world's fighting for your eyes. The world knows, and as the devil knows, he can incite lustful distractions through your eyes. So the first step is take inventory of what you're letting in. Take inventory. Think about, where's your time going? What are you spending your time watching? What are you looking at? That's the first thing. And then you can say, Lord, help me to fix my eyes on you and to be, so that my body will be full of light. Very important. Let's move on. Number two, we have the ear gate. Interesting how God has given us those, the eye gate and the ear gate. There it is already. Oh, I hope it doesn't advance. It did. Oh, well, okay. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark 4:23 and 24, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. Take care what you listen to. Because what you listen to is what's going to get in your brain. I have a real problem. Every time I go into the community, I will come home and I start singing some stupid song. God has just geared me to music. I always have some. And I'll think, why am I singing this ridiculous song? And then I realize it was the last song that was playing in the grocery store when I was in there, and it's still in there, and I start singing it. It happens to me all the time. But, you know, advertisers know. Places you go know. When they play that music, it gets in your ears. They know that. They know that. But God also knows. He says, pay attention to what you're hearing. We also have a warning here in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Do you ever wonder what that itching ears is? It is a metaphor, we could say it's a symbol, for people who desire just to hear what's going to please them. You know, the people of Athens, they said they had nothing to do all day long except sit around and talk about some new thing, the latest thing, you know. And it says in the end days, people aren't going to listen to sound doctrine. They're going to listen to what the things that they just make them feel good, make them feel happy. Rather than the truth. So what we allow in our ear gate is going to have a profound effect on our thoughts and actions. If you fill your ears with all the bad news of the world, if you listen to a lot of negative talk, it's going to have an effect on you. When I was teaching, I enjoyed spending time with my colleagues, but I found there was something I couldn't do. I would often, not often, once in a while, I would go up to the faculty room to eat my lunch and kind of talk with people. Well, I discovered that the faculty room was just not the place for me to be. Because as I sat in the faculty room, you know, it was nice to see people, but then they was like, oh, let me tell you what Johnny did today, this little brat. And they're like, oh yeah, let me tell you, this horrible child did this and that. And their parents. Oh, there's the negative talk. It just got to the point where I couldn't go there anymore. You know, once in a while I'd go up just to see people, but most of the time I just sit in my room and eat my lunch because I didn't want to listen to all that stuff. And you know why? Because the longer I was there, I found myself starting to talk that way. So I was up there and all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I had that kid in my class and oh, what he did. And then I'm like, okay, I need to leave right now. Don't join in, because what comes in is going to come out. The stuff that goes in is what's going to come out. We have garbage in, garbage out. Oh, so what do? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I would say, hear those things. Look at those things. That's what you let in your ear gate. That's what you let in your eye gate. I don't think he left anything out. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, because God knows that's what we need to be filled with. And so again, I want you to think and take inventory. The first step is just taking inventory. What are you listening to? You know, I used to, I will confess, when I was a kid, I loved the Beatles. I just did. Their music was really tuneful. I loved their innovative melodies. But, you know, as I got older, I started really listening to the words. The words are not too good! And, you know, those words are what gets in. And I found I had to be careful. Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. So I had to start taking inventory. And I realized there are some things that I just can't listen to. Can't listen to, can't do them. And this doesn't mean that you have to become an isolationist. You don't have to go and live in the Himalayas like a monk, away from society and purge yourself of all worldly evils. You know, we don't do that. But we have, I hope I put it up. Oh, I didn't. Darn. Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, both of them are gifts from God. The hearing ear and the seeing eye are gifts. They're gifts from God, but we are charged to take care of them. What are you letting in your eyes? What are you letting in your ears? I've had to be very careful. There are TV shows that I used to let myself watch. I can't let that in. You know, the storyline's exciting, but then there's the language. Oh, I can just listen past that. The graphic scenes that show people doing things they shouldn't do. I can't. No. What am I letting in my eyes and my ears? Is it glorifying to God? How you use those gates, that's the battleground. That's the battleground where we stand with the Word and fight the devil, or we open our gates up and just let anything in. We've seen in our country the effects of what happens when you open the gates and let anything come in. We've seen it. We've seen the illegal immigrants. We've seen the fentanyl. We've seen the drugs. We've seen the murderers. We've seen the crime that has come from opening wide the gates. Now, should we never let anybody come into our country? Well, of course not. You can come in the right way, but that means they're checking the gates. Checking the gates. Doing it right, not free for all. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. And there are people today who will tell you, just be tolerant of anything. It's okay. Let it in. No, it's not okay. Because God is just, and He says some things are good, some things are bad, and we need to, in this day and age, guard our gates. It's the battleground. The enemy's clamoring for your gates. He's clamoring for children's gates. There is a tremendous movement for the eyes and the ears of kids in schools. It's happening everywhere. It's a battle. And whoever possesses the gates has control. So I want to ask you today, and I'm asking myself as well, do you have possession of your gates? Are you knowing what's coming in? Are you monitoring it? Or maybe Jesus needs to come in. Remember when He came and cleaned up the temple? There was a time. You know, the temple, the holy place. How could Jesus come in and make a whip and start beating on people? Because there was unholy stuff in the temple. Maybe Jesus wants to come in and whip out a few things in your life and in my life. Maybe there's some things that need to go that we've let in our gates. And He wants to get them out. So I want to encourage you today. First step is to take inventory. It's the easiest thing. Father, what have I been listening to, and Lord, where do I need to set my filters? What am I letting in that I shouldn't let in? What am I letting in that I need to let more of in? I found sometimes that I will read the Word. Sometimes I just turn it on and I listen to it. I have an app on my phone, Bible Gateway, and I just listen to the Word. It's another way to grab hold of it. I encourage some people say, I really have a hard time reading the Word. I'll read it and then I won't remember it. Well, you know, you might not remember the meal you had 2 weeks ago either, but it still fed you. But sometimes listening is another good way to get that Word in you and to filter out some of the distractions. Filter out some of the distractions. Glory to His name. So, Carol, I'm not sure this is a really good time.
Okay, interrupting. If you could tell them Tony's Kitchen is closed the last week of August and the first week of September, and 1,000 people will have no groceries or no hot food.
What I'll do is I'll let our secretary know. He can put a notice in the
Wonderful. Board. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the time. Okay. So, again, I encourage you to take inventory, see what God is saying to you about what you let into His temple. Remember, it's His temple, not yours. Father, we thank You that You have called us to have our temple as the dwelling of Your Holy Spirit. Father, it's such a wonderful privilege that we get to have the Holy Spirit of God come and dwell in us. But Father, also, what a responsibility, Father, we need to keep our temple holy. So I pray that, Father, you would help us as we're looking at the things that we've talked about, the gates, Lord, if there's anything in our gates that we are letting in that needs to stay out, Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would show us, that we would be able to protect those gates. And Father, the things that are good, help us to fill our hearts and fill our minds with those things. Lord, we thank you for it. We pray that you would help us to continue to walk in all of your goodness and to have our hearts and minds filled with your word. Thank you for it, Lord. And give us grace, Father, if you need to come in and clean out some things in our temple, Lord, we give you permission to come in. We thank you that you're faithful. And if you want a clean house, we give you permission to clean house. Father, thank you for the blessing of being a temple of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would help us and bless us, help us to walk in all of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. Ooh, we're ending a little bit early today. Be blessed. Take some extra time in fellowship. Oh, and Dean, how are you doing, man? How are you doing with the burns? We've been praying for you. Yeah, glad to see you back. Dean had some serious burns on his body, but he's up and around and moving yet again. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. If you need prayer, please feel free to come up. Otherwise, okay.